Wow. Okay, would you open your Bibles, please, to the 2 Corinthians, or as Donald says, 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. Some people like to take notes, and so Madison, for those people that like to take notes, let's see if this will get up here. How many of you have heard of the prosperity gospel? Have you heard of the prosperity gospel? Yeah. Linda, you've never heard of the prosperity gospel? That's awesome. That means you're not watching daytime religious television. No. Or midnight, 1 a.m. Yeah. Really, the prosperity gospel got going a few years ago based on some scriptures such as, I would that you prosper. It's in the Bible. I would that you prosper, and they never read the rest of the verse, even as your soul prospers. So there's a direct connection to how God wants us to prosper. But without needing to show your hands, because I know every hand would be up, if I were to ask the question, how many people would like to be prosperous? Of course. How many of us would like to enjoy a better, what is called, standard of living? Of course we would. We're not voluntarily trying to have less in the sense of be needy people. We want prosperity. True? We have a culture that wants prosperity. We want businesses to grow, don't we? Check out the new little yellow building here in the center of Banks, what used to be the Banks Cafe. It's back open. Has anybody been there yet? Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, food? So this is a local business. It's nice to support local business. I would like this morning to cover the real prosperity gospel using the Bible and not the distortion. So the first thing is, what is the basis for charity? Why should we be charitable? Would you look at with me chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians? Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you about the amazing gift of God's grace that is happening throughout the churches in Macedonia. Paul is excited. He's trying to tell the church at Corinth, amazing things are happening. The gospel is being spread and people are coming to the faith. This thing is working. Right? The Jesus the Christ who came, who suffered, who died, who rose again, who then left, and then who left his Holy Spirit here to build the church, this stuff is working. Look at verse 9. I'll start with the beginning. You know the grace that has come to us through the Lord Jesus the Christ. He set aside his infinite riches. Whose riches? He set aside his riches and was born into the lowest circumstances. Where would that be? Where? Here, right? He gave up heaven to come to become that. We call that the incarnation. And it tells us why. So that you may gain great riches through his humble poverty. So if you were trying to build some message of fleecing the sheep, as it can be called, you could quote this scripture that, well, because Jesus became poor, you can become rich. Because that's kind of what it says there. But what kind of richness is it talking about? It's talking about the richness of charity. Are you with me on this? The thing that God wants you to be overflowing with is charity. Giving. What? Love. So the basis for charity is Jesus Christ. Now in verse 11, it starts out, remember how excited you were at first. How many of you can actually remember when you came to the faith? Let me see your hands. Hold them up high. You can remember when you came to the faith. Was it a great day?
Yeah.
Was it an exciting day?
Yeah.
Did you go away feeling joy?
Yeah.
You should remember that. When we celebrate the sacrament of communion, we always share the words that Jesus said to share when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," him. He wants us to always be remembering him. Now, if you're remembering him, you should be remembering when you came to him and how exciting it was and how victorious you felt and how he just overwhelmed and overpowered every other concern and thought. Do you remember that?
Yes, we do.
Forgive me, God, when I get overwhelmed by circumstances and forget how overwhelming you are. The basis for charity is Jesus Christ. And as Lorena said, giving. The simple word is giving. I pulled the annual financial report back from our annual meeting, and I just want to share with you again the generosity of this congregation. These are ministries which you give to every month. Or through the year at some time, because they're recorded in the summary. Last year you gave to BCA while it was going, and this year you're giving to Faith Bible West. You gave to the Mexico Mission Team. You give regularly to Bridges for Peace. That is a ministry to the people of Israel, the returning Jews that are coming from countries around the world. They show up in Israel. Oftentimes they don't know the language. They don't have jobs. But they're coming back to their homeland. And they need food and all kinds of supplies and places to live. Bridges for Peace helps with that. We give every month to Gideon's International. The Gideons is a group of businessmen and professional people who take their own time and their own money, not the money of churches, but their own resources, and they give Bibles to all places all over the world. Now, you mostly see them in hotels or in hospitals, places like that. They've translated the Bible into so many languages, and the Gideons give to that. And so what we do is we help them out. And we try and give them some money so they'll have resources to distribute more Bibles. We give every month to a ministry called Puppets and Praise. That is a children's evangelism ministry team. They will be here May 22nd to kind of not just minister to us, but teach us and show us better what that ministry is about. We give to a ministry, a national or international ministry called World Vision. You often will see World Vision pop up on television when there's some disaster around the world. They have a very well-organized disaster team response, and they're just amazing. We give every month to the organization called Teach Beyond. Teach Beyond is the covering, if you will, for Eddie and Sarah Trussell, who are teaching in Bogota, Colombia. So your money goes to Teach Beyond. They take, 9%, whatever it is, and then they send the rest down to Eddie and Sarah. So that's how we help support them. We've recently added the Pregnancy Resource Center of this area so that we can help with the continued education and helping young women choose life and health for themselves as well as their child. We have given on occasion to a ministry called Alliance Defending Freedom. It is a group of attorneys who work pro bono mostly, which is for free, to help churches when churches get sued by places like the ACLU or somebody else. How many of you know we got a lot of things going on with church and state right now? We are under attack. So this group of attorneys who were serving, they found there were very similar problems among the churches. Didn't matter what denomination you were, or if you were a Christian church, you were under attack. And so they've kind of organized to know how to help churches. And they've created some recommendations for churches. Be sure you do these things. So our board has been very diligent, worked many hours to organize and compile the official part of this ministry, the corporate part, so that we are protected as best we know how to be protected. This is wonderful, yes? And if something happens and there be a problem, well, Alliance Defending Freedom would be there. We also support the local food bank called Sunrise Shelter. You notice the improved donation bucket in the front. All of this charity, all of this giving.
Helping Hands.
Well, yeah, where is Helping Hands this morning? He didn't make it. We also have the Helping Hands ministry, which we don't account for. But I applaud you, church. The percentage of giving is over 20-some percent of the total we take in. People are always concerned if the church spends all of its money just on itself. And you might get to think that someday. You look and you see our carpet and our new chairs and the paint, and you think, wow, we're spending an awful lot of money on Dayspring. Well, we haven't done anything since we bought this place in 88. That carpet was 20-some years old. It needed to go. So I'm not too embarrassed by the fact that we have a little bit of improvement here. I don't really feel like we're in a cathedral, right? I don't think we're being too wasteful to gather this way. And I am so happy that we spend as much as we do for the benefit of others. Charity, that's why when we receive an offering, it's God bless it. Well, what about the key to charity? So we now know what the basis is. The basis for charity is Jesus Christ, because he gave his life for us. Amen? But the key to charity is found in chapter 9. And it's 9 verse 6 with verse 7. Let me read them this way. But I will say this to encourage your generosity. The one who plants little harvests little. And the one who plants plenty harvests plenty. So that's talking about generosity, yes? If you are generous, but what kind of generosity? Verse 7. Giving grows out of the heart. Otherwise, you've reluctantly grumbled yes because you felt you had to, or because you couldn't say no. But this isn't the way God wants it. For we know that God loves a cheerful giver. The reason I don't like to do a lot of sermons on money, I don't like to do fundraising, I don't like this stuff, is I don't ever like to have someone look at me and say that I'm fleecing the sheep, that I'm trying to work the crowd, that it's my job to somehow get the money. When I moved to the mountains of Wallowa County back in 1981, the church that we had was, we were being supported by a denomination, and I met a fellow pastor in a church in the town next door called Enterprise, and that guy, he worked on commission. And I said, "You what?" And he said, "Well, my arrangement with the board is that I get a percentage of the offering." And I'm a businessman, and I'm processing this. I think that could explain a lot of wealthy preachers. You mean if you build the church, you make more money? And he said, "That's exactly the point." So they entrust in me the job of going out and building the church. Now, what was his motivation? And bless his heart, this is a nice guy. He wasn't an evil guy making millions in Enterprise, Oregon. But when he would look at the people, you couldn't help but separate yourself from, "Hey, I sure hope you give more today because I got a gas bill to pay." And something seemed amiss to me. You know what I mean by amiss? Something just didn't seem right. And then I found myself in the position, raising five children in Joseph, Oregon, and they were approaching college. How am I possibly going to pay for this? And all I've got is a congregation. You can see what was happening to me, right? And that's why I got off of that train. That's why I left Joseph, Oregon, and came back here and opened up a business so that I could earn some money to support my kids and not have to address the church because I had some particular needs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if I'm not careful, and this part you should probably erase off the tape, but it can sound like I'm faulting every other traditional ministry on the planet, and I'm not trying to fault anybody. I'm trying to be in touch with the heart of Paul the Apostle, who said to the church at Corinth, I come and I don't lay any burden on you. Right? I come to give you whatever gift I've got. And as long as that gift is needed and welcome, then we've got a wonderful arrangement. Right? So that is the key to charity is the heart. So if you hear, oh boy, this is going to take way too long. How many of you get envelopes all month long? You get envelopes asking you to give to things. Have you ever added up how many of those you get? A lot of them. And a lot of them are professionally written by fundraising organizations that know exactly where to push the button in your heart. And they all want to, and let's just assume for a minute that they're all good. Let's just assume they're all needy and good things. Can you support them all? So the key to charity is what? It's your heart. It's your heart. If your heart is driven to support certain ministries, then you support that. Okay? Now you're going to find in a minute that your heart probably can't support all of them to the extent that they need. And that's why they are vying for what you're doing. Now let's look at the power of charity. The basis for charity is in chapter 8, verse 9. The key to charity is chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The power of charity is in chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. And this is never quoted. These verses are never quoted related to charity before. This is probably the first time you've ever heard this, but I submit it to you this way. Chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the world, we do not fight according to this world's rules of warfare. Amen? Amen? Let's just pause. We walk in the world, yes, but we don't fight the way the world fights. Really. Let the modern church hear this. We've got to stop fighting the way the world fights. The weapons of the war we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by whom? Powered by God. And effective at tearing down the strongholds erected against His truth. If God is urging you to be a charitable person, because He has discovered that the more charitable you are, the more charitable He can be towards you. Do you know the teaching of the steward? And all about stewardship. Yes, you've heard that. Okay, remember the three guys. They go out. The talents. Remember this? Okay, 3, 2, and 1. Call it that way. So the last guy, he didn't waste the money. He took it and he buried it and held it for his master. Correct? The second guy was a little more aggressive. He went out and invested a little bit. The first guy, he went out and he was really aggressive and he made more money for the master. Right? And the master showed up and he said, wow, you've done a great job. And the second guy said, you've done a pretty good job. What did he do with the third guy's money?
Give it to the other guy.
Yeah. And he was upset. He said, wait a minute, you didn't risk anything for me. Do you think that God, the God of heaven, wants to bless you? You do believe that God wants to bless you. One of the ways you unleash His blessing or make yourself available to His blessing. I love the old phrase, get under the spout where the glory's pouring out. That's not just a Pentecostal saying to lather up the church. Get where God is. Join God in what He's doing. And be warned right now, the minute you say yes to joining up with God, it's going to get expensive. He's the God of the impossible. The minute you start hoarding your money out of fear, the less money you're going to have to worry about. And you can worry yourself right down to nothing. And by golly, you can be secure. I've got nothing. And it's all mine. I am not saying go out and be foolish. I'm not telling you to go out and buy a bunch of penny stocks. What I'm saying is, pray. Get close to the Lord. Look at what your church is doing. Be a part of the fellowship you're a part of. Invest in God's things, and God will invest in you. Why do I say that? Because it's right here in the book. These spiritual weapons that we have, one of which is charity, doesn't make sense to the world. If you ever listen to Dave Ramsey, anybody ever listen to Dave Ramsey? He's a national talk radio guy that teaches on financial management. He'll say, first, get yourself out of debt. Pay off all your bills. Get out of debt. And he closes every broadcast I've heard. He's got something of Jesus Christ in there. He's always talking about putting the Lord first in your life. This is a syndicated radio program that goes across the whole country. I think it's on 860 AM, KPAM. I can't remember what it is. But it's on in the evenings, I think, from 6 to 8 or something like that. Be very good. The power of charity is the spiritual warfare begins in you. It doesn't... God has provided His Spirit. Amen? And Christ in you is the hope of glory. Yes? So until we step out in faith, we don't release these things from happening. I mean, to happen. Wow, it is so exciting. Now, the greatest act of charity that I could come up with towards you, let's go to chapter 11, verse 2. Well, I'll start with chapter 11, verse 1. Please endure a little foolishness on my part. You have come so far with me already. To be completely honest, I'm extremely jealous for you. For it's the same kind of jealousy God has for you. You see, like an attentive father, I have pledged your hand in marriage and promised to present you as a pure virgin to the one who would be your husband, the anointed one. What is God's first act of charity? What did God give first? Gave heaven first? The heavenlies, perhaps? You can go to the book of Genesis, you can begin to read the account of creation. You can see the way God gave. Correct? So after we get the planet and all the universe, now we have Earth, and now we've got the garden, and now we've got man, and now we got all the, we got everything now. Oh my gosh, then here comes the history of time. Let's go all the way through the old covenant to a point in time with what was God's next gift? Jesus Christ. He was a gift to us. Right? He was a gift. And what did we refer to him in this passage, as well as what I shared from the hymn this morning? It's about a marriage. Really? It's about a marriage. The gift of marriage. In the liturgical churches, marriage is considered a sacrament. You know what the word sacrament means? It's from sacred. It means holy. Right? This is something that is holy. That which is holy is not of this earth. That which is holy is from Him, because only He is holy. Right? I feel like I'm swimming in a strong current here. Because I want you to understand that you are a gift of God. You are an act of His charity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Did He also give you? Well, hold up a mirror. Are you there? I have this weird, opinion. I won't call it theology. That's probably not fair. I don't believe that life began by accident. I do not believe that human life begins just become a sperm swims into an egg and fertilizes an egg. That's the physiological explanation of fertilization and then the whole expansion of the cell. That's what happens in creation. But what I believe is that God speaks life into being. Now, you might be a scientist and just say, oh, no, it's just random stuff. But random stuff doesn't, to me, explain why so few are created. You do some research and you try and figure out how many eggs are there and how many sperm are there and how many times are they coming together. Billions and billions and billions. And yet, there's not life happening. Life is a very precious thing. Life is a very rare thing. Life is the spoken word of God. And you can say, gosh, I don't understand why he would create life this way or that way. Why he would create life out of such horrible, what seems to us horrible things. Except to say that I've seen a young man stand on our stage and give a testimony about his own life and how he was almost aborted. But because he wasn't aborted, here he stood, giving his gifts to this congregation. Wow. If you can't see yourself as the act of charity from God to you, then you need to do some serious spiritual discussion with God Almighty. He loves you. Oh, yeah, but I've messed things up. Anyone in the room has not messed things up? Okay, since... Oh, you've never messed anything. Of course we mess things up. And God loves us. Now here's another peek into more of God's charity. It's the marriage. I've talked a lot about that already this morning. Chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. 14 years ago, there was this man I knew, a believer in the anointed who was caught up to the third heaven. Whether this was in or out of body experience, I don't know. Only God knows. This man was caught up into paradise. Let me say it again. Whether this was in or out of the body experience, I don't know. Only God knows. And he heard inexpressible words. Words a mortal man is forbidden to utter. Now, who's doing the talking here? The Apostle Paul, right? He's talking to a group of people, and he's saying to them that he has this experience. He met this guy, and the guy tells him this story. And we now call these kinds of story, because we're still hearing them, called NDE, near-death experience. Have you ever heard of it? There's all kinds of books out, both scientific and spiritual. Not all of the scientific books have a spiritual side to them at all. Some of the spiritual books also bring in some science. They're trying to explain what is going on. If they would read their Bible, they would see in God's Word this has been canonized, it's been tested, it's been worked on by men through the ages. He says, I don't know. Only God knows. Folks, if somebody comes up to you and says that they have had a near-death experience, what should your response be? How about this? Wow. And then they tell you what their experience was, and you can say, wow. Wow. You don't need to enter into a debate about it because he don't know. That guy doesn't know exactly what happened anyway. And there's really no point in trying to explain it all away other than to say, God knows. Now, I find it very interesting that they would take the time to put into the Bible information about which we know nothing. Doesn't that ring for any of you? This is part of God's charity that He is showing you, He is revealing to you, He's giving you some glimpses of what's to come. And we can sit around in rooms and try and figure out what it means, but doesn't it just build your hope a little bit to know there's something more? I will never forget our dear sister D. Tennant down there in Texas. She pulls me down to her lips and she's just near death, but she says, "Skip, it's real." Those were her exact words. She couldn't explain what it was. I couldn't interview her. But this I know. Jesus loves me. He's created me. He's died for me and washed me clean. And wherever it is and however it is, however it's going to happen, it's going to be a ride. Amen? Here's what God wants, and I close just with this very important part, because everybody will want to say, "Okay, Pastor, you gave this message on charity. Are you passing the hat? What are you doing?" Chapter 12, verse 14. "Now listen, for the third time I'm ready to travel to you, and once again I will not burden you, because there's nothing of yours I want." Did I answer a question? "There's nothing of yours I want." And then he says, "I just want you." Fathers, mothers to your children, what is it you want? What is it you really want from your kids? You just want them, right? Steve, we talk to about our kids, and we talk about their houses, and we talk about their husbands or wives, we talk about their children, their finances. We don't care about all that, do we really? What we care about is them. We just want them. When I think about my kids, I can think about all kinds of family. But really, what I want to do is I want to hang. I just want to be with them. Can you hear God saying what He wants? Is He wants you. So what can we give Him? What charity, what could we give God? You can't write a check that He needs. So what can you give God? You, exactly. And you give it the way you've got it. Right? If you're an extrovert, you give it loudly. If you're an introvert, you give it quietly. If you're tall, you give it boldly. If you're short, you give it meekly. I don't know. However it is that you are, you give to God. And you know, here's where the enemy comes in, because you start to think it isn't good enough. You start to think, "Well, I can't do that." Make our praise glorious, O God. To you we lift up one voice. To you we lift up one song. Praise on our lips. Praise on our lips to you, O God. Don't you think that's what He wants? Does He really want you to go out there and be so busy you kill yourself? No. He wants you. Does He really want all your money? No. He wants you. Yes. That's what He wants. Hi, Papa Daddy. Yeah. Lord Jesus, I am humbled by you this morning, and I try to comprehend what it is that you've given to me, what it is you want me to give back to you and to others. I understand that you want to continue to invest in us, but that you're watching to see what we do with that investment. And that as we invest in others, as we are helpful to others, as we serve others, it seems that you increase your investment in us. So Lord, help us to figure this out. Help us to understand what it means to not only pay our tithes, but also to give offerings. That we might be so joyful and participating in your work in this place, that then we can begin to see you add to it, increase it, and to press down, shaken together, overflowing. So let praise be on our lips, let our hearts be after yours, and help us, O God, give back to you one thing that only we can give you, our very selves. We love you today, O God. We give you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you, church, this morning. We have, drum roll, carrots. I'm not kidding you. We got carrots. All right. You are dismissed.